Anyways, Sunday morning, we're at Adult Sunday School, as hopefully you know, at Faith Bible Church. I'm filling in for Dave. My name's Paul Baalbeck III, and I remembered the date today. It's 1/27/2019. So I'm starting out good. I remembered my notes. Some of you are probably going to go, that's a shame. I got some compliments last week. I forgot my notes, and they said you should leave your notes more often. Yeah. So we're teaching through our spiritual blessings series. After I pray, I want to tell you a little story that happened on Facebook today with me. Today we're going to look at we're risen with Christ, we're seated together in the heavenlies with Christ, and we're joint heirs with Christ. What a blessing. Let me pray because I want to get right into that little story, and you'll see why it's so important to understand these things. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning for who you are. You're an awesome God. And who are man that you even think about us? What love you have. Thank you, you've given us your Holy Spirit the moment we believed. And thank you for blessing us with every spiritual blessing, all by your grace. We sure don't deserve it. We never have, never will. And may your Holy Spirit cause us to have gratitude in our hearts this morning and rejoice in the investment you've made in us through these spiritual blessings, and to realize it costs Christ his very life. And I pray you, your Holy Spirit would be the real teacher. I pray for the pastor when he preaches later and teaches that your Holy Spirit will just work mightily in and through us, and everyone will leave this place revived in our spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to, again, tell you a little true story, kind of like the pastor starts out, right? But he's got a funny story. This one ain't really funny. Excuse me. On Facebook, a lady, like a friend, you know, I call them my peeps, and my people, you know, she put that verse, I think it was from Luke, love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Well, I told her, good luck. No one, think about it, that is law. And I explained to her, that was Christ teaching the nation Israel on the law. And he's teaching them the stringency of the law. Okay, the law demanded perfection, didn't it? You know, a lot of churches this morning will be teaching, just try and keep God's law. God will be happy with you, and you'll probably make it into heaven if you're good enough. But the law demanded perfection. Not, God didn't grade on a curve, see? So I told her, I says, good luck. Who loves God with all their mind, their heart, and their soul? Do you think of God 24/7? No. And she commented back to me, we don't got to get lucky, we just need to do it. And I explained to her what the law, the purpose of the law. The law was just supposed to show man his condition so he'll come to Christ for his provision. Paul talks in Galatians, it was our tutor, our teacher, to point us to Christ. Once you come to Christ, you no longer need the tutor. See, the law can't make anyone perfect. All it could do is condemn you, and the law is the knowledge of sin. So I was explaining all that to her, and I said, my friend, I didn't do it in a mean way. We're not supposed to do that. You know, but sometimes we need to correct one another, you know, in a loving, humble, patient way. You know, so hopefully, I got to look back how she responded to me, but hopefully she got it. But then I'm in the I got coffee before I come. I need some coffee in the morning. And they got they're jamming with some gospel. So I told the lady, I says, man, I never heard the gospel in the gas station store. And she goes, yeah, I guess I'm going to church this morning. I don't know what channel it is. And I said, that's where I'm going. She goes, well, have fun. We'll try. Anyway, I said, I'm teaching I love teaching. Yeah, but you know what the song was? This is what people are hearing today. I gotta get myself right, right with Jesus. Gotta get myself right. What is that? Lack of understanding justification. And that's the songs I'm singing in probably 75% of churches this morning. Walk up the aisle, make yourself right. Commit yourself to God, to the commitment you broke. And they're whipping them, you know. This morning, I hope you leave refreshed and grateful and to want to serve God out of gratitude and dependence too. Because, you know, the love of God caused us to want to serve Him, right? Then a lot of times we have to learn the next step. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't keep the law. And I depend on Christ and me to do it through me. You appropriate what you have. That's what we're learning. Learn your identity in Christ so you learn how to walk in that truth, that grace truth. Paul always, what did he tell the Corinthians? To the saints. Would you have called them saints? They're real carnal. I mentioned this last week. But the Holy Spirit through Paul always takes them to their identity. And then he deals with behavior. He reminds them who they are. Now you ain't acting like who you are. See? So that's why I'm doing this spiritual blessing series. If you don't know what you got, you don't know how rich you are. Right? And if you don't know your identity and your position in Christ, I like saying identity better than position, because position sounds like it's out there. It's not a reality. Your position in Christ is who you are in Christ. God is actually, it's a reality. You're a new creation. You want to call it a new creature, whatever. You've been born of the Spirit. You're a child of God. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're justified, holy, righteous. You're risen, seated with Christ. You can't get no higher than that, you know. You're talking about, you know, psychobabble says you have to love yourself more. You can't love others, you know. A bunch of garbage that comes in the church. Once you understand God's love for you, it's unconditional. You messed up this week, haven't you? Or are you lying this morning, messing up now? God loves you unconditionally. We all came up short, didn't we, Bill?
Yep.
If I don't say something in 1 week.
I'm shorter than others.
Like Bill says, I'm shorter than others. So anyway, let me sort of refresh your memory where we've been at. We went over where this series is based on Ephesians 1:3, where Paul tells us, the Holy Spirit through Paul, that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know, every spiritual blessing. You're complete in Christ. You don't lack nothing. You are so rich. You know, sometimes you think, man, if I had no money, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Because if you ain't if you don't have a spiritual joy, rejoicing, a spiritual happiness, if you want, realizing that all the money in the world won't do it for you, you know? Now, if you rejoice in that, a little bit of money helps pay the bills, don't it? Anyway, we've went over the blessing of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their sins against them. Thus, and He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, right? I said that. God made Him who had no sin, Christ, to be sin for us. That what? We might become the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God if you're in Christ. I don't God made myself right. I should be singing, thank you, Lord, for making me right. You know, that's what righteousness is. It's making you right. You're right with God. So if you're right with God, you got to make yourself right with God? No way. So then we dealt with, we exegeted 1 John 1:9, that verse, but we exegeted the whole chapter, that is to an unbeliever, not to a believer. Satan's perverted that verse. And it's been just tradition now. If you got something wrong in your life, what's pastors tell you? You'll hear on the radio, Bible counselor, you must have some sin in your life. You need to confess that sin, get yourself right with God, right? But so we're blessed. We have forgiveness, right? Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We're justified, totally righteous in God's eyes. Knowing that, do you have to crawl to God in prayer? Clean yourself up? Or can you come boldly before his throne of grace? Right? Think what it does for your prayer life. See, all these things should not just get up here. It needs to get in here. But you got to think it through. Paul says, don't you know? But it's not just a knowledge mindset. You know, it's where it should grasp our heart, every part of us. That's grace. That's why I always say, you ain't grasped grace unless it's grasped your heart. Because if it just stops here without knowing all the details about grace, that's not how God has designed it to do. It's supposed to get into our lives where Christ can in us, can effectively live through us and touch other people's lives, reach the lost and edify the saved, help some of the saved get set free from the legalism that's out there. We looked at the blessings of our sanctification. You're a saint. You've been set apart the moment you trusted in Christ. Set apart by the Holy Spirit. You have God's seal of approval on you and ownership. We've been bought with the price, therefore glorify God with your bodies. I've been listening to Pastor O'Hare. I don't know if some of you know. He's an early grace pioneer helping to recover grace truth. Fantastic preaching, man. Old time, powerful, but grace teaching. And he don't play. He didn't mince words, you know. And I thank God for men like that. You know, we got some pioneers that we should be so thankful for. Sometime now, because we have continued to recover more grace truth by letting the word teach us. But then, you know, I hear some of these young whippersnappers that think they know all about right division and the mystery and they run down some, like, Stam. See our Stam? If not for some of them, we wouldn't be where we are. If not for Martin Luther, he wasn't a rightly divider, but God used him to recover the justification by faith and Scripture alone, solo Scriptura, through faith alone, and Christ alone. You know, and sometimes people get all puffed up and they think they're the teacher, you know. We're crucified with Christ. We dealt with that last week, right? We died who we were in Adam. We died with Christ. And we were made alive with Christ through the resurrection. Now we're going to look at, go to Ephesians 1, 18 to 21. Ephesians chapter 1, 18 to 21. And don't worry, I've been warned somebody's watching me about the time. And I told her I'm watching her. The ones who warn you about that are the ones who I think need a little bit more edification. Maybe I should go a little longer. No, I'm just fine. You know, when we went out to Grace Memorial Church, I'll tell you why you're looking for the verse. I said, sorry, you know, I went a minute over, and they said, no, take your time. I said, don't tell a preacher that. Take as much time as you want. I'm gonna, you'll be sorry. But that was nice because that was a pretty nice offer. Ephesians 1, 18 to 21. This is Paul praying, and this is what the Holy Spirit wants in our lives, okay? And this is what we should be praying for each other. Have you ever tried to explain how to rightly divide the word and the mystery and Paul's apostleship, the gospel of grace, to a believer? and it's very frustrating sometimes. Here's what you pray for them. Because sometimes we're trying to do the job of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to illumine their minds. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? It's right here. Right? We got to pray to be gentle and, you know. So here's Paul's prayer. The eyes of your understanding, what's eyes make you think of? Seeing. That you'll be able to see. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, the Holy Spirit turns the light on in our minds when we depend on Him. Never study God's Word without praying, Father, let your Spirit illumine my mind. Being enlightened, what? That you may know. See, not just know about. This is an intimate, you might know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is, listen to this, and what is the exceeding, great exceeding, look at Paul's words. You know, he starts out great, then he gets greater, and it gets exceedingly great. He said, and what is the exceedingly greatness of His power towards us who believe? You know, most Christians, your average Christians, I'm going to say, don't know the exceedingly greatness of the resurrection life of Christ in them. And they just kind of, how do you limp along, you know? I remember before I understood about, I have to depend on Christ in me to live out of me. And I tried, I was not just limping, I was crawling. You know, you get spiritually burnt out. But think about what you have in you. The resurrected life of Christ. You know the power it took? God, and not only that, we're going to see, to resurrect Him, but He ascended and to sit at His right hand. Don't you think Satan and his demons wanted to stop Christ from going up there? Sure. God's power stopped that, stopped them. So He says, and that power is in us. It's not power to cast out demons like you're seeing deliverance ministries and to bind Satan. Where does Scripture say to bind Satan? They take a verse here and a verse there, verse here, verse there, verse everywhere, mix a verse together, and you get this crazy doctrines, you know. We don't bind Satan. You know how you resist him? Through truth. Amen. He got none on the believers. He'll come against us, yeah, but we got spiritual armor, don't we? Got to put it on. You got to know what the armor is. I'm studying that out now. I want to be a good soldier. I want to know how to... We're in a spiritual battle, whether you like it or not. The moment you trusted in Christ, God translated you out from the kingdom of darkness and under Satan's authority and power in the kingdom of light. He wants you to think He got more over you than He got. We're seated with Christ above all heaven, powers and principalities. Praise God. Yeah. Your position in Christ. But a lot of times we don't walk in that. And that's why I think it's so important to come to church. I know grace believers that don't think it's important to come to church. Oh, I watch Les Feldick every week. It ain't the same thing. I watch them too. But I love the fellowship of the saints. It's sweet when you're not in a legalistic church. I love coming and wanting to encourage you and you encourage me. You know, you study the doctrine on your own. Then you come to church and it stirs that doctrine up in your soul. You know, it's important to come and assemble together. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and listen to this, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, listen to this, far above all principalities and powers, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians 2:6. So, I want you to think about Christ, His position at the right hand of God, high above all principalities and powers, right? And now you're seated there with them. Can Satan, can he defeat us unless we allow him to? No, not when you're looking at life through your position. And you say, wait, let's read it first. 2:6? Somebody's listening. 2:6. Can you repeat that? My wife always says repeat. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Again, you think, well, he's up there and I'm here. How am I? See how you got to think things through when you pray things through. I get crazy. Ask my wife. When I don't understand something and I want to know it, I start getting out my Bible. I start getting out the my Greek, translations of the Greek, and I start digging and digging. I want to know it. So you got to think things through. You got to dig out them treasures in the Word of God. And what it is that's it. Remember it says we died with Christ, we were buried, and we rose together with Him. We're in union with Christ. We're His body. He's the head, right? So if He's sitting there and He's the head, we're His body. We're seated with Him. Amen. We're a spiritual organism. You know, it's not, the church is not this building. This is our assembly. We come here and assemble. You know, God really doesn't like denominations, sects. But in all that come under Christendom, you got some saved people and you got some not saved going to churches. You're only in Adam or you're in Christ. You can be in Adam, very religious. Pastor O'Hara was bringing that up beautifully. He said, you got people in church, you know, they're in the music ministry, the choir. They might be teaching Sunday school. They might be a DVD ministry. I ain't saying you ain't saved, sister, but you know, give me your testimony. But I mean, and never trusting in Christ or trusting in their performance to earn God's acceptance. And they usually get pretty puffed up, like a Pharisee, you know. But we're one with Him. And now how does that function too in our Christian walk? Well, if we're His body, He's in us, we're one, then it's Him in us, using our hands, using our mouth, using our eyes. Sometimes you smile at people with your eyes. Your smile. How about when you hug somebody who needs a hug? What if they're going through something? Sometimes it's better not to say nothing, just give them a hug. My wife's like that. I'm trying to busy, give them a verse. My wife's comforting them, you know what? And she'll cry with them. So I say she's the heart of a minister. Yeah, so you need both, you know, because when someone loses somebody, right, they're going through things, even though we don't mourn as those who have no hope, right? If they're believers, when my mom died, I rejoiced for her, but for me, I missed her, you know. And Paul tells us how to comfort those who have believing people in their family that died, right? He talks about the rapture, right? That blessed hope. So you need that, but also Christ will use us maybe to embrace them. Yeah, or sometime, you know, a smile will do somebody's day. All of a sudden you come by somebody. Sometime if you're really angry and you come by somebody and they're just, hey, how you doing? And getting on my nerves, wait till I get my coffee before I talk to you. You know, but sometime you make somebody's day. See it, or when you're studying this word, I think it was you who told me sometimes, somebody was telling me, and I experienced the same thing. Some things I don't even know I know, and I start sharing some with people, and all this stuff starts pouring out. It's a Holy Spirit in you. Maybe that person needs some edification. Maybe they need to be exhorted. That's a gentle correction. Maybe they need to be comforted, encouraged. See, and that's Christ in us. So that's how that works. Knowing your union with Christ, you know, and knowing Paul said, we knew Christ according to the flesh, but not no more. Most churches this morning are studying Christ according to the flesh in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he was a Jew teaching Jews on the law. And they're trying to follow them instructions, right? And what's it say? And the law is the power of sin. 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 1 Corinthians, yeah, 15, 56, around there. And the law is the power of sin. So when you're being brought under the law by your pastor, or even people like that lady this morning, you know, she's telling people, love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Good luck. That's what I said. You know, but you know what happens? What's the fulfillment of the law? What does Paul say? Who've been studying their Bibles? Boy, what's the fulfillment of the law? I figured you'd have that one. Love is a fulfillment of the law. That's what Paul says. Love is a fulfillment. You know that verse.
I didn't know what verse
you were. I'm sorry for it. I mean, if I would have said any other one, Lori would have had it. That man studies. So, when you're walking in the Spirit, and you're going to be controlled by whatever you depend upon, you know, I've dealt with that before. If you're drug dependent, you're going to be controlled by it, right? If you're sexually dependent, pornography, you get controlled by it. If you're dependent on Christ in you and His Holy Spirit, you're going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be not drunken with wine, which is an excess. That means like a drunk, which is debauchery. So it's not just somebody having some drinks. But be filled with the Spirit. So see the contrast Paul's making? So when we're dependent on the Holy Spirit, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. What's the fulfillment of law? Love. So you're going to be fulfilling what the law calls for without even thinking about it. And you'll probably go beyond it. You know? You ain't just not going to steal from somebody. You might help somebody. See? The Pharisees built fence laws around God's laws. They said, we'll build these fences so we don't even get close to breaking God's laws. And then they became more important than God's word. There's what Jesus said. By your traditions, you make void the word of God. If they would have just asked God, sought Him, teach us how to love, they wouldn't have broke, you wouldn't break the law. You know, our only problem is we love imperfectly, right? So when we're not focused on the Spirit, what are we going to do? You're not going to be fulfilling the law. I'm not always loving to my wife. Jake, am I always loving? Patient? Okay. At least I'm honest, you know. I like Vernon McGee, you know. He used to preach verse by verse through the Bible like Les Feldick. And he asked, is anybody out there perfect? And one guy raised his hand. And a guy's wife sitting next to him, and he says, is he? She went, The wife knows you know. But if you ask God, are you perfect? If you're in Christ, he goes, yeah. I'm pleased with them. They're my son. It's like I'm looking at my son. Now, so we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So you don't got to fear Satan. What you got to do is realize he's very deceptive. He's got methods. That's why you need to stay in this word. And sometime I tell my wife, she can worry at times, you know. I think she got off her mom. My mom was like that. She didn't have nothing to worry about. She was worried she didn't have nothing to worry about. And I said, sometime we stand there, and that's just maybe her struggle. It might be about bills, you know. But we all have our, you know, personal struggles. Anybody perfect in here? A lot of honest people. I appreciate that. But sometime we stand there and we let Satan punch us and slap us and kick us. Would you do, Bill, would you let, Hey, Bill. Were you meditating there? He was praying. I appreciate. He wasn't sleeping. I appreciate that, how he's praying for me while I'm preaching. I want to ask you a question, because I know you were kind of from the hood. You were on the streets like me. Would you stand and let somebody hit you? No. But we do with Satan a lot. He comes with them flaming darts at our minds. Boom. You know, boom. And we stand there, and instead of taking every thought captive, putting up our shield of faith, right, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, we stand there and let them beat us up. We don't have to. Learn through Paul and all Scripture, because he did some things in Israel to corrupt them. Well, he'll pull the same things, because they work well with the human race. And he's had a lot of time to study us. You know, the human race has probably been around 6 to 10,000 years, in my opinion. You know, some people have different, but I think, and no matter how long, it's been a long time. So we need to be in this word. You need to memorize it. You need to apply it as he attacks you. Paul said, and after doing all, to stand. So we'll get attacked, but know who you are too. And know you don't have to stand there. You were seated with Christ in heavenly places. You got resurrection life in you. You don't got to get beat up. When he attacks your mind, take them thoughts captive and every high thing that comes, you know, against the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, we got a battle. You know, we're, you know, there's that abortion thing, right, in New York. So all over Facebook, it's you've seen it, Lori. You go on Facebook, and they're just Christians, you know. And I understand it bothers me, but I also know God has us here as ambassadors. Yeah, we stand and say, this is wrong. But so many times Christians get off track. We're here as ambassadors, not telling sinners how bad they are. If you want them to know that, give them the law. That's what the law is for. Paul says, if the law is good if used properly. Some of you think they're very moral and a good person, and a lot of unsaved people are. Sometimes they're more moral than some believers. You know, you ever know somebody? They're actually sometimes more caring, but they're still unsaved, and those in the flesh cannot please God. Yeah. And so you give them the law. All you do is tell them, God says, here's 10 things. You got to keep it perfect. Do you? Have you ever lied? You know, have you ever disobeyed your parents? Blah, blah, blah. Well, makes you a liar, right? Yeah. How many times you got to do something before that's what you are? So that's all the law is for, to show them they're a sinner. But our job is to tell them that God was in Christ, right? That God demonstrated his love in this. Well, we're still sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. Don't tell sinners to act like Christians. They're not. And that's what people start doing. I'm against this, and we're against this, and that's wrong. Yes, it is wrong. And from the pulpit, you teach believers that's wrong. But when you get out in the world, sure, what I try and do is get into a conversation, and I'll debate, but I don't do it. I try not to get angry about it. We go back and forth with an unbeliever why this would be wrong, you know. But I'm not trying to tell them quit doing stuff and act like a Christian. What I'm telling them is you can't be good enough. You are a sinner, but Christ died for sinners. Because once they come to Christ, and they get into this word, their thinking will be transformed. It'll start inwardly, and then they'll change their views. You know, but anyway, go to Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2:12. I'm not doing that for you, it's to remind me, I'm getting older. Says, Paul is telling us what happened. This is in our identity. What did God do? This is a short version of Romans chapter 6, 1 to 14. We die with Christ, we're buried, we rose. It says, go back up to 10. And ye are complete in him. Who's that? Christ, which is ahead of all principalities and powers. You're complete. You lack nothing. The moment you trust in Christ, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Remember that. Circumcision made without hands. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What's that talking about? That's sort of a mouthful to chew on, and if you say it fast, you'll start speaking in tongues. You were cut out of Adam. God cut us out of, what is circumcision? Cutting away the flesh. You died with Christ, you're buried. God cut you out of Adam. And he placed you into Christ. And now I want you to see something. Context is king. Context is everything of a verse. Because what they try and say is Romans 6, if you view that as water baptism, you destroy the whole idea of what the Holy Spirit through Paul is trying to say. Remember, baptism can mean water, depending on context. But in Romans 6 and in here, it's talking about a spiritual baptism. Today, Paul said there's one baptism, right? One faith, one Lord, one baptism, right? How many? One. Can there be two?
No.
All right. They want to say Romans 6 is your testimony that you get when you get baptized. You know, you die with Christ. Christ wasn't buried in water. You see? It's not a testimony. It's something that God did. It wasn't when somebody put you under water. It's without hands. Just like, let's keep going. Like circumcision went without hands, buried with him in baptism. See, it wasn't water. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That's the one baptism. We're placed into the body of Christ. We're immersed in the body of Christ. We're identified with Christ. We're buried with him in baptism. Wherefore, ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. And that idea is the faithfulness of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. So again, we died with Christ, right? We were buried and we rose with Christ, right? And when you're cut out of Adam, you were buried, never to come back. So when Satan tries to tell you, you're just an old sinner, saved by grace. Don't you hear that all the time? Christians are just sinners saved by grace. No. Because if you're just a sinner still, what are you going to do? What's going to make sense? Just go sin. That's what sinners do. But if you're a saint, does it make sense? You see, your mind starts getting transformed through this word of God. Study it all, but especially go to Paul's epistles. You know, some rightly dividers don't think the Old Testament, things are important, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Hebrews to Revelation, all of it's important. But just know, O'Hare said, and I love this, there's always been grace. On the law there was grace. Didn't he give them animal sacrifice? So there's a difference of grace in a dispensation and the dispensation of grace. Big difference. We live in the dispensation of grace. And all these spiritual blessings are graced. You done been graced. Are you thankful you've been graced? Amen. I like that. Somebody is with me. We've been graced. We don't deserve it. That's rejoicing. You know, if I was still Pentecostal, I'd go run around the church right now. You know, I mean, that's just when you dwell on it. So many times we get depressed because we're dwelling on our failures and Satan's got us focused and we're getting slapped around by him. Instead of rejoicing and taking them thoughts captive, replacing lies with truth. Jesus said what? You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's transdispensational. Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you take that word, that sword of the spirit, you know, and that's the only offensive weapon that Paul tells us in our armor. I guess we're not going to get to three today. I want to do three blessings, but that's okay. I like Ernest Campbell. He's got a... I have a series. I got some on the table out there. The only thing you got to watch, he's a Calvinist. So anytime there's a verse that has something to do with election and predestination, you know, I just throw it out, that part, because I understand God predestined us not to be saved. He didn't predestine unbelievers to be saved. It never says that in Ephesians. And Romans 2, Romans 8, 29, I believe, and 28, it says he predestined believers to be conformed into the image of Christ. Okay, but what I love, he goes to the Greek and he translates from it. So I get to know different words, how it just makes it a lot clearer when I'm studying. And what he has is, go to 2:12. He talks about you are risen with Christ through the faith of the operation of God. You know how he translates that? The energizing of God. It was God. What other word does that make you think of? The Holy Spirit will bring different verses to your mind. The word of God that worketh in you. That word in the Greek, the original language that God inspired, means energizing. The word of God energizes us. It feeds our spiritual man. It strengthens our spiritual man. It sets us free. So what's that tell you when you don't study the word of God? Hello? Myrtle! For the pastor, put on a little stronger coffee. I'm almost done with this coop. No, I love you guys. Well, they say 7 days without the Word of God makes 1 week. You know, how important it is to stay in this Word. And you ever notice, my cousin told me, every time she wants to start studying God's Word, how come I think of all the different things to do? Does that happen with you? Does it with me? I go to sit down, because I like doing mine in the morning. I usually take, I like to study Monday through Friday, Saturday. Well, I try to lead a Bible study with my family, at least with Mary. We invite Jake and Chris, but they're young men now. They're not forced to it. You know, I might just give them some extra chores to do or something. I let them choose, you know. And Sunday, I come and I'm getting fed, you know, or I'm trying to dish out some healthy, sound doctrine, a good healthy meal for you, so I love so much, everybody here. So I got to be closing out. I'm like, I got 60 seconds. Wow. Even with my notes, but I only got in one. I was going to try and do three, but this ain't nothing to rush through. The only thing I would like to finish the series before Dave comes back, but I'm praying for him to get back here. Dave, if you're watching, we miss you, and we need you. We need you here. Dave's been so faithful. How many years? He don't get paid for doing this. And Dave is a very good Bible teacher, very thoroughly studies, just like our pastor, you know. I can't wait. I'm going to lead in a roast for him when we have the thing. So I got a couple things, funny things, and then, you know, we're not going to do it like a worldly way and, you know, put him down. But I got a couple funny things, and then everybody will have a chance to encourage him in something. How, think about somewhere or some way he's touched your lives, and I'll let him know. You also might, once in a while, I don't know if you ever did it, drop him a line. Let him know you're praying for him and how you appreciate him. Let him know he's loved, because, you know, I'm going to end with this. You know how many pastors quit the ministry out of discouragement? No? Let's keep him encouraged. He's a great pastor. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for your truth that sets us free. Thank you what you've done in Christ. Help us to know who we are in him, Lord. Help us to know what you've invested in us. Christ blessed us through your Son. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We're complete in him. We can live, if we get a hold of this, Lord, and appropriate by faith, we can live powerfully, spiritually powerfully, and make a difference in our circle of influence. So open up our hearts, Father. I pray as your Holy Spirit gives the sense of the meaning of the truth from your word, that we would be like Israel of old and leave rejoicing. And I pray, Father, if there's one who's never trusted in Christ, again, maybe they've been very moral, they've been in church their whole life, or they don't go to church, but they think because they're a nice person, they're better than some Christians morally. You said that there's none righteous, no, not one. That includes them. I pray that they would recognize they're a sinner before a holy, perfect God, yet a loving God, and that you sent Christ to die in their place, that they can become a new creation, and you would fill that emptiness in their spirit. And I pray for us, Father, who do know you, that we just learn to walk more and more consistent with who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.